welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. We want to thank you for tuning in to KEQX 89.7. We're here every Monday night from 6 to 7 o'clock. We want to, first of all, tell you that the views and the opinions and the content or the beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or belief expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same as KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, and the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. This is a live call-in talk show. The number is 254-445-2473. And if you'd like to email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We welcome your comments. We welcome your questions. And even if you have a question that is not the topic of our discussion this particular day, don't hesitate to call anyway, because we would like to answer your questions. Now, you've heard what men have had to say about the Bible. What our objective here on this show is to show you what the Bible has to say about itself. We are extremely concerned with the liberal views that men have taken toward what the Bible has to say. All we're after is the truth, and the truth is just going to be what the Bible has to say. And Carrie, today we're going to introduce a brand new topic. We just got through with the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to introduce a brand new topic that is a source of controversy with a lot of people. And it shouldn't be controversial at all. It has to do with baptism. Now, I had a lady not too long ago from the congregation there at Hillcrest went to a wedding. And went to a wedding at the Cowboy Church of Christ right around Stephenville here, and she came away with a booklet that they were handing out there, and it was all about baptism and the Lord's Supper. As we said earlier, you have heard what men have to say. Now let's see what the Bible has to say. This is probably one of the most confusing booklets I've ever looked at, Carrie. And the reason it's confusing is because it tells you one thing and then it yanks the rug right out from under itself with something else. And let me just give you a for instance in this little book, which is put out by the Cowboy Church. Richard W. DeHaan is the writer of this book, and on page number 13, it says, baptism itself does not remove sin. On another page over here, it says, baptism does not have the power to save us from our sins. And then it says, baptism is unimportant. And then it says, although it's true that baptism is not essential to our salvation, this does not make it merely an option for Christians. Well, my question is, if it's not essential, then what is it? Is it optional or is it not optional?
Well, it is and it isn't.
Well, evidently from this book, it is and it isn't. It says, doing the will of God is never an optional matter. That is the only true statement that I've read so far. And that is an absolute true statement. Doing the will of God is never an optional thing. And so what we want to do is find out what is optional and what is not optional here? What is necessary for our salvation and what is not? Carrie, let's look at this word baptism today and let's see if we can't straighten this mess out that people have going here. What we're trying to do is alleviate confusion.
Exactly.
Evidently, there seems to be an awful lot of confusion here about this subject that to me is crystal clear. I can't imagine how anybody can misrepresent it or misunderstand it unless they have help. Carrie?
Well, and David, you're exactly right. And if we turn our attention to the Word of God and we drop all our preconceived ideas and just listen to the Word of God, then we're not going to be confused, because the Word of God is not confusing. The Word of God is very straightforward, and it will tell us like it is. And so as we turn our attention trying to drop some of the things that we might have heard in the past and understand what God has actually said, David, I don't believe this topic is near as hard to understand, as we've been told in the past. And so we want to turn our attention to what the Bible actually says. And you've already mentioned this. And by the way, David did misspeak. It's not the Cowboy Church of Christ.
No, I didn't. I thought I made that crystal clear. I hope it's crystal clear now. It is the Cowboy Church.
Yeah, just the Cowboy Church. And, you know, friends, when we leave the Word of God, then we're going to have confusion. And that's the sad thing, that many people in the world have indeed left the Word of God. And so we're going to turn our attention to the Word of God. We want to begin by noticing Mark chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. Mark 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now listen to verse 4. "John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance." Now watch this phrase, friends. "For the remission of sins." For the remission of sins. That's what the Bible says, David.
Well, now that's a purpose, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Now, friends, we want to remind you that the phone number is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. And we want you to weigh in on this topic. But, friends, as we begin in looking at this topic, we find that John was out preaching in the wilderness, and he was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, that's what he preached, David.
That's what he preached.
That's what he preached. Now, that leads us to an interesting question. First of all, what is the definition of baptism, David?
Well, the definition of baptism seems to be a source of confusion in itself.
And
so,
right.
So we have to go back to the Greek word. And you and I, we've said repeatedly that we are not Greek scholars. But we do know how to read a dictionary.
That's
a
right.
Greek dictionary.
Yeah.
And baptizo means immersion.
Okay, so it means to immerse.
To immerse.
And of course, that means to sprinkle too, right?
No, sir. That means to immerse.
Oh, so it means to pour, right?
It means to bury.
Friends, I'm trying to drive a point home, and I hope that you understood that's what I was trying to do when we did this. When you look at the definition of a word, and the definition of the word as it was used in the original language means to immerse, to dip, to plunge. It's used to describe the act of dyeing garments. And when you take that garment and you want to dye it purple, then you put it down into the dye, you wash it all around, and then you bring it up, and guess what? The garment has changed colors. It's now purple because you baptized that garment. That would be the exact way that the Greeks would say it. They baptized that garment. They immersed that garment in water. So David, there should be no confusion on the very term baptism, because it means to immerse, it means to dip, it means to plunge. Anything else is not according to the Word of God.
Well, if you take it like that, if it means to bury,
mm-hmm.
then people want to take it to mean sprinkle. I would hate to send my dead folks to that person to get them put away for all of their eternal lifetime. I wouldn't want a dead person sprinkled out there. I'd want him buried.
That's exactly right.
And so we've got to look. As a matter of fact, I think now, I'm pretty sure I can prove this, that the dictionary will tell you that we don't have a word baptized, that it is actually a transliteration of that Greek word. We don't even have the word. The only word we have that's close to it is to immerse.
That's right. That's right.
And so there we have our mode.
Okay.
We've already talked about our purpose. Now, we got the purpose of baptism is for the remission of sins.
Okay.
Why in the world is that important?
Well, first of all, for is a very interesting term. We need to understand that, just like we need to understand baptism. Now, David, if I said that I'm going to give you $50 for your truck. No, David say, uh-uh. But no, I'm going to give you $50 for your tie. Does that mean that I'm giving you $50 because I already have that tie?
No.
No, it means I'm going to give you $50 in order to gain the tie that I would like to purchase from you. Now, folks, that's not hard to understand, is it?
No. It is not.
And by the way, friends, when you look at the definition of the word, and again, David and I are not Greek scholars, but the Greek word is eis, and it's pronounced differently by different people, but I'm going to go with the word eis. And David, it is defined as the word for. It's also defined as in order to gain. It's also defined as to obtain. As a matter of fact, when you turn into the New Testament and you look at the New Testament, you will find that 91 times it is translated for. You will find that 571 times it is into. And folks, you look at it and you will never in the New Testament find this word eis translated because of. You won't find it anywhere. There's nowhere in the Bible where it's translated because of. Now, David, why is that important?
Well, it's important because for defines the purpose.
Okay.
And we've got to have the purpose defined in order to know how important and the essentiality of this baptism that is a requirement of God, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the remission of our sins. This essentiality of the requirement is something that cannot be overlooked. It's all important.
Okay. David, I want to read something out of this tract that you received. And it says here, and I'm quoting, what does Acts 2:38 mean when it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? The quote continues, here is, now listen carefully, folks, here is a possible explanation.
Now, as we said before, you have heard what men say. Let's hear what the Bible has said. Okay, now this is what men have to say about it.
Okay, listen to this. A.T. Robertson, a well-known Greek scholar, has pointed out that the Greek preposition eis, translated for in the phrase for the remission of sins, may also mean because of.
May. There's a possibility.
David, I have another well-known Greek scholar, 1996, Dr. Daniel B. Wallace, up here in Dallas at the New Testament Studies at the Dallas Theological Seminary. Now, he published a book in 1996 called Greek Grammar Beyond the Basics, and he never in 800 pages defined the word because of. We'll come back to that thought, but we have a caller right now. And caller, if you'd give us your name and your comment, we'd appreciate it.
This is Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, if ice is translated for, some folks might be wondering why Christ went to be baptized. You know, in 1 Peter, he said he knew no sin. He was without sin.
Okay.
So you might want to clarify why Christ went to John the Baptist to be immersed.
Okay. And of course, Jim brings up a very good point. And the point is, in case everybody didn't understand what he said, why was Jesus baptized? If baptism is for the remission of sins, then why did our Lord need to be baptized? And that's a good question, Jim. So we're going to turn our attention to it and find it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3.
Got it.
Okay, David's got it. So, David, go ahead and read Matthew chapter 3. Give us the verse you're going to read.
Okay, we're going to begin there in verse 13, because Matthew chapter 3, at the beginning of the chapter, we see that John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he is baptizing in the Jordan. Verse 13, then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? Verse 15, Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. Now, we've talked in times past in the 119th Psalm, verse number 172, that all of God's commandments are righteousness.
Yes.
In Jesus' case, it was not to forgive sin because he was sinless, but it was to fulfill the righteousness of the commands of God.
That's exactly right. Does that help, Jim?
Sure does. Well, that kind of clears up when we're told in other scriptures that Christ is our example. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly right. Hey, we appreciate you calling, Jim.
You bet. I'll see you later.
Okay, thank you.
Well, yeah,
friends, we're up against a break at this time, so we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then we want to encourage you to be back with us on the other side of the break. Give us a call at 254-445-2473. Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition, and it is not the Lois and Clark Expedition. It is the Harrison Clark Expedition as we journey through the Bible together. Now, the motto that we've kind of thrown around here is, you've heard what men have had to say. Now, let's see what the Word of God has to say. Let's see what the Bible has to say. And so we want to remind you, this is a live program. We accept call-ins. We encourage call-ins. And so if you would like to call us, give us a call at 254-445-2473. We also have access to the email if you want to email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. So it's 445-2473 or keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, we were asked by one of the members at the Hillcrest congregation in Stephenville. This lady had gone to a wedding held at the Cowboy Church, and there was a tract that she was given, and it was entitled Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And in this tract, this man tries desperately to prove that baptism is not essential to our salvation. And he does some pretty good gymnastics with the Word of God, folks. He turns the Word of God upside down, backwards and forwards. But friends, the Word of God still stands true.
Amen.
The Word of God is not going to change. Now, as an example of what we're talking about, this man said, what does Acts 2:38 mean when it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? He says this, here is a possible explanation. Well, friends, I don't want to hear a possible explanation. I want to hear what the Word of God has to say.
I would hate to think that all I had was a possibility concerning my soul's salvation.
That's exactly right. And he says that A.T. Robertson, a well-known Greek scholar, has pointed out that the Greek preposition eis, translated for in the phrase for the remission of sins, now listen to this, friends, may also mean because of. Now, we've already pointed out in our program that you will not find this word translated because of anywhere in the New Testament. You will not find it. But not only that, Dr. Daniel B. Wallace, a well-known Greek grammarian, who is a professor of the New
Testament. Is that a scholar?
Yeah, that's a scholar.
Okay, all right, I got it.
He is professor of New Testament studies at the Dallas Theological Seminary, which is the same denomination that A.T. Robertson comes from, if I'm not mistaken, or at least similar to it. And in his book, Greek Grammar Beyond the Basics, he never mentions the word eis as because of. And so someone asked him why. And here's what Professor Wallace said. He said that in an interesting discussion over the force of ice took place several years ago, especially in relations to Acts 2:38. He then referenced the position of J.T. Manny that ice could be used causally in this passage. Wallace mentions that Manny was taken to task by another scholar, Ralph Marcus. Now, here's what this guy said when he was asked about it. These two men engaged in what Dr. Wallace called a blow-by-blow encounter, and he said that when the smoke had cleared, the Dallas professor conceded, quote, Marcus ably demonstrated that the linguistic evidence for causal ice falls short of proof. In other words, David, it ain't so.
Well, you know, Gary, that's an awful lot of arguing over a three-letter word, for. You know, we out here in the country, we understand for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know a Greek scholar myself.
Do you?
Named Jesus the Christ.
There you go.
And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, he uses that same word, for. And he says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, we know that we can't be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right.
He says that he shed it for the remission of sins. That is the same terminology we got with baptism.
Yes.
And so we've got to understand that Jesus Christ, the Greek scholar himself,
yeah,
he knows as much as anybody on this earth and way yonder more than most.
Yeah.
And he says that that's what it's for. It's for the remission of sins.
Well, let's just follow this guy's logic and read it as if this guy is right. Now, Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper, and it says in verse 26 that he took bread, blessed it. This is Matthew 26:26, blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of this. Now listen, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, if this guy is right, here's what Jesus said. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many because their sins are already remitted.
That's ridiculous.
Jesus shed his blood in order for us to obtain the remission of our sins. He did not shed his blood because our sins were already forgiven.
Absolutely.
And so this guy's argument doesn't only fall, it falls flat on its face. And every argument that he gives in this tract, folks, falls short of what God says about baptism.
You know, all we're trying to do here, Kerry, and I think our listening audience knows this, all in the world that we're trying to do is just show people what the Bible has to say. Take the confusion back out of this. We got so many Greek scholars running around here telling us what we ought to know. All in the world we really need to know is what Jesus Christ said. I'm from the hay patch. I understand that you know there need to be scholars.
Yeah.
There's a need for them, but you can have too many of them.
That's right.
They can help you misunderstand a lot of things that are very simple.
That's exactly.
And this
right.
is one of the simple things in the Bible, the baptism and the purpose of baptism. And all along we have this thing just balloons, and we have a change of mode, we have a change of purpose. When the mode and the purpose that we've already talked about here is very, very clearly stated in the Bible. We even have a better explanation for those of us who are a little bit simple-minded. We have a better explanation all the way back over there in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Tells us about what that is for.
All right, let's read together. This is Saul of Tarsus giving account of what he did when he was saved. That's what's going on in Acts 22 and verse number 16. Now notice that it says in Acts 22 in verse number 12 that Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came to me and stood and said, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Now here's where a lot of folks jump track. He called him Brother Saul, therefore he's already Christian, right?
No.
No, he called him Brother Saul because they're both Jews.
Absolutely.
They were Jews. That's all he's talking about. He said, in the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers have chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men what thou hast seen and heard. Now listen to what Ananias said in Acts 22:16. And now, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on, Saul? Arise and be baptized. Now watch it, folks, and wash, or as some people say, wash.
Wash.
Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, when you wash away something, what did you do?
You got rid of them.
You got rid of them. You got rid of your sins. Now, friends, that's what Saul said. Now, in this little tract that this fellow has written, he said that Saul was saved on the road to Damascus. Saved on the road to Damascus. Well, then why in the world, 3 days later, did Ananias say, get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins? I guess he had committed some grievous sins from the time that he was saved on the road to Damascus until Ananias got there, right?
Well, Acts chapter 9 said he was praying for 3 days. I don't know how that could possibly be taking place.
He was praying and fasting for 3 days. And when Ananias got there, he said, Saul, I know that you believe. That's clear. I know that you've repented because you're praying and you're fasting. I know that you confessed that Jesus is Lord. You've already confessed that. Now all you got to do is get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away. And that's what he did, David.
Evidently, if we can put two and two together here, he had faith, he had repentance, he had actually seen Jesus Christ. The only thing that he hadn't had take place is that he still had his sins. He hadn't had his sins forgiven.
That's right.
Now, if he was going to be saved because of faith, he would have been saved on that road to Damascus. But he asked Jesus a question after he had faith. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do?
That's right.
He said, you go into Damascus and there it will be told you what you must do. An absolute requirement that he's going to give them. Friends, we're up against another break. That thing comes around here pretty quick.
Too quick.
254-445-2473. Call us. Let us know what you think.